All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let us begin. So we are picking up page Resh Yud Gimel. We left off towards the bottom of the page. If you remember, again, we started yesterday the really fascinating discussion regarding what the Ramchal calls the Mishkal HaChasidus. When to be a chassid, when not to be a chassid. When the midah of chassidus, exceptional piety, is truly chassidus, versus sometimes one is actually not only pious, but it could be sinful. So you saw the example of Gedalia ben Achikom yesterday, and here the Ramchal gives another answer, which is or another example, which is truly dramatic. V'abayis Hasheni, during the Second Temple era, gam hu charav al yedei chasidus kazeh, asher lo nishkal b'mishkal tzedek. The Second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of what we'll call it unvetted piety. Piety that was not properly weighed. Piety that was not properly assessed. Piety that was not looked, that was only looked at, I should say, in the lens of the present without any type of thought for future ramifications. He gives the example. What are we talking about? But Rabbi Sina, I just want to tell you, this happens to be, I've always found perhaps one of the most dramatic pieces in the Ramchal. He writes, Kimai said the Bar Kamsa. So remember again, there was the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. So that story we're all familiar with. So interestingly enough, remember the Gemara itself says that because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the narrative only that the Gemara gives is because of Sinas Chinam, because of baseless hatred, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the Ramchal here says something dramatically different. He says, Bemai said the Kamsa Bar Kamsa. Amru, Savar Rabban. Remember again, fast forward a little bit. So Bar Kamsa goes ahead and, Bar Kamsa goes to the Greek governor, or according to the Gemara, goes to the Caesar. And he tells the Caesar that the Jews are rebelling against you. And he says, what's the raya to the Caesar? He says, watch, send an offering, send the carbon to the Jewish temple, and you're going to see they're not going to offer it up. So remember again, what does the Caesar do? He sends an animal. Bar Kamsa does something very interesting. So Bar Kamsa goes ahead and he splits the lip of the animal. Making a mum. But it was the type of mum, the Gemara says, that for us was problematic, meaning from a halachic person was problematic, but for the nations of the world, ultimately, again, would not be considered to be such a significant mum. So this carbon shows up in the Beis HaMikdash. So now the shaila is, what do you do with it? If you don't offer up the carbon of the Caesar, that, of course, could spell significant trouble. On the other hand, you can't go and offer up a balmum, right, a blemished animal. So the Gemara, so the Ramchal quotes over here, Savrav on the Keruve. The rabbis decided as a group, you know what, we have to offer it. We just have to offer it. Because if we don't offer it, again, just the potential fallout of that is terrible. So we have to offer it. Amalem Zer B'Zachariah Ben Avkalus, Yomru Bali Mumin, Kraven Legabim Mizbeach. So Zechariah ben Avkolus says, how can you do that? If you go ahead and you offer up this carbon now, people will say that blemished animals can be offered up on the Beis HaMikdash. So fine, they don't offer it. Savar lemiktale. So they figured, you know what? Let's kill Bar Kamsa. After all, at the end of the day, Bar Kamsa is a moser, right? Bar Kamsa is someone who's trying to actively get the Jewish people in trouble with the Roman government. He's a moser, so as such, let's execute him. Amar Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkalus. Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkalus says, page Reish Yudalid, Yomru Matil Mum Bekachim Miharik. People don't know the backstory, so people will assume, why are we executing Bar Kamsa? Because he blemished a sacrificial animal. And people come to the conclusion that the punishment for blemishing a sacrificial animal is death. And of course, that's not the case. So as soon as what's happened over here, so the rabbis, right, wanted to offer up the carbon. Just let's defuse the situation. Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkalus said, no, you can't do that, because people say you can offer up blemished animals. They say, fine, then we have to go ahead and kill Bar Kamsa, because at the end of the day, he's a moser. Can't kill Bar Kamsa, because people will say that what? That ultimately the punishment for offering up blemished animals is death. Can't do that. So what happens? Ben Kach, Halach Oso Rasha V'Hilshon Es Yisrael. So in the midst of all this, as the rabbis are deliberating, so what happens? Bar Kamsa goes back to the Caesar, tells the Caesar, you see, I was right. Yehudai mardu b'cha. The Jews have rebelled against you. They're not offering up your karban. And what occurs? Ba Kesar v'hecheriv Yerushalayim. The Caesar came along, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, destroyed Yerushalayim. So Rabbi say, so all, as all of these deliberations are going on, the Beis HaMikdash is in flames. This is what Rabbi Yochanan meant when he said, Ad Vinsanuso Shrab Zicharyo Hechriva es Beisenu Visarfa Sechalenu Vehiglisanla Bena Umos. So we'll say, literally it means the humility of Rabbi Zicharyo ben Avkalos went ahead and destroyed our Beis HaMikdash, burnt our Heichal, and caused us to be exiled amongst the nations. So we'll say, an incredibly dramatic statement. Chazal almost laying the blame for the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash at the feet of Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkalos. It's all Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkalos. So we'll say, what happened in this story? What happened in this story? Sahari lecha, she'in ladon b'chassidus. So we'll say, what happened over here? What happened over something very simple? Misplaced chassidus. Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkalos, in an effort to be exceedingly pious, right? In an effort to say, no, you can't offer up this karban because it's a balmum. In an effort to go, you can't kill Bar Kamsa because people are going to say you're killing someone who was matal mum b'kachim. So in an effort to be exceedingly pious, which came from such a pure and holy place, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So amazing if the Gemara says the Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed because of people's sinful behavior. It was destroyed because of excessive piety. It was because in a time where people should have taken, decisive action. Instead, again, they were mired in the details of personalistic piety. And sometimes, again, you have to dispense with piety, and you have to go ahead and take action. Which, I'll say the truth is, it's two lessons. Lesson number one is that there's a time and place for piety, and sometimes you have to put piety on the side, and you just have to do what needs to get done. There's another lesson in here, which is sometimes it's a time for discussion and collaboration and deliberation, and other times there's just simply a need for action. So says Ramchal, what do you learn from this story? Harei lecha she'in ladun b'chassidus hamaisa b'asher hu sham levad. What we learn from here is that when assessing or when looking at the piety, the chassidus dimension of a particular action or activity, you can't just judge it based on the here and now. Ach tzarech lifnos kol vako l'chol atzdodin sheyachol secha la'adam liros. But rather, you have to look here, you have to look there, you have to contemplate the ramifications and repercussions on this action, of this action, in every direction. Ad sheyadun be'emes eizo yichshe yoser ha'asiyah o'aprisha. Until you could fully analyze and answer one simple question. What is better? Is it better to act, or is it better to abstain? Right? Is action or inaction more desired in this situation? So again, what you see over here is that I'm describing these dynamics where sometimes people think something is pious, but it only looks like piety now. But if you really begin to contemplate and you really begin to think about the repercussions and ramifications of this particular action, one begins to see that not only is it not pious, but it can chas v'shalom become destructive as well. Such an incredibly profound and difficult challenge, and difficult to assess, because I will say, you know, the Chassam Sofer has a piece on this Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkalos, a very important piece, and he says, you know, although Chazal are laying the blame for the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash at the feet of Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkalos, what's important to know is that people, we spoke on this yesterday, people can only make their decisions with a frame of reference of what they know. If you don't have a frame of reference for something, then by definition, again, you can't really make your decisions taking it into account. Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkalos, there have always been angry Jews, right? No shortage of angry Jews. But Jews who would be so angry to go ahead and malign the Jews to the Caesar, that ultimately the Caesar would march on Yerushalayim and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. That never happened before. Rabbi Zichai ben Avkalos, from his frame of reference, he figured, okay, Bar Kamsa's angry. He's Bregis. It'll calm down. He'll calm down. Jews get angry. Jews calm down. That's how we operate. That's how we operate. But then he's going to get so angry to be malshin, to go to Milan, the Jewish people, to the Caesar, that Rabbi Zichai ben Avkalos has no frame of reference for. But nevertheless, Ramchal says, sometimes again, you have to think about what could be. Even though in your wildest imagination, you can't imagine it's going to be, you have to imagine what could be. And that's why sometimes there's a time to be a chassid, sometimes there's a time to be pious, but sometimes also a person must take decisive and dynamic action as well. All right, so we'll stop over here. We're not finished with this. We're going to see a few more dramatic examples of this in Meretz Hashem tomorrow.